You hear so much about a say no to drug campaign. Well, alcohol is a depressant. It's a drug. You'll never hear him preach against that. And Amendment number 18 of the Bill of Rights forbid the sale of liquor. And that was directly a result of the preaching of Billy Sunday. And when they repealed that, somebody found a sign in the dust bowls of Kansas. They found a sign that said, "You gave us beer, now give us water." And there are still some dry counties in Kentucky, Tennessee, a few places. It'd be nice to see Lake County be a dry county. Okay, Titus chapter 2. A week from today, I don't usually announce going out of town, but a week from Tuesday, I'm scheduled to preach at Brother Manus' church in Columbus, Ohio. It's unregistered Baptist fellowship, so if you keep that in your mind, pray for that. Titus chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that's of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." Now, there's three groups there. And if you throw in the young mothers, too, you got four in verse 4 and 5. But all of those that have sound doctrine. And I'm going to focus on young men this morning. Verse 6, 7, and 8, young men. So let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to see the truths of the Word of God. And Lord, I pray, I appreciate the young men that we have here, men that, young folks and young fellas and that are hungry for the Word of God. And Lord, it's a rare thing. It's a true blessing to see that. But Lord, I do pray you'd help us to, the older folks, to be a blessing to the young ones, to live holy and right. And I pray you'd give the young men courage and boldness to stand for thee and to act like a man, be like a man. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, the focus this morning is going to be young men anywhere from 13 years old up to 30. So that means everybody else just kind of hang back. You can enjoy yourself. I'm going to hit young girls maybe another time, young ladies. But young men are often mentioned in the Bible. And the sins of youth are often reap a lifetime of rotten crops. And anybody over 40 can attest to that fact. And so it says in Genesis chapter 8, verse 21, that the sins of the young or the imaginations of the young is evil. Who? All of them. And Galatians 6, verse 7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If a man soweth to his flesh corruption, he shall of the flesh reap corruption." And so we need to, a lot of times folks, they have their sins of their youth, and after they get right, they start praying for crop failure. And when you pray for that, pray, beg God for mercy, and sometimes the Lord does give you crop failure. It does lessen the harvest. But we don't accent here on youth programs. We've had some folks ask me about youth programs. Do we have youth programs? And I usually smile and I say, yes, we let the families raise their own kids. Amen. That's a youth program. I had a couple men come time in my office that we were going to ask them some questions about some things in the property in the past. And at that time, you know, there's one thing I have long since forgotten my edumacation from Hiles Anderson, because they said that the pastor's office is to have a mystique. It's to kind of be an off limits. Yeah, right. Go check my office out. You can see, man, it's the dumping grounds of everything, it seems like. But I had somebody come in, and they saw all the hockey sticks. We had some hockey sticks in there, baseballs or something, I don't know. And this guy says, "Oh, it looks like you're the youth pastor. You have a youth ministry?" And I just said, "No, we let the parents raise their own kids." And he just kind of... Now, I was a youth pastor for a while, for a short bit. And I can tell you about youth ministries. They basically involve entertainment and zeal without knowledge. That is the heart and soul of youth ministries all across this country. If you find a spiritual youth ministry, they have a good leader. But they entertainment, and I refuse to entertain people. I mean, I am not a clown. I'm not a circus act. I'm not going to sit in front and try to entertain people. I like being around people who can entertain themselves. I enjoy themselves, enjoy their own presence, just enjoy things being quiet. But youth basically is filled with zeal without knowledge. We're in a society where the youth are exalted, young men in particular. The news media is constantly trying to make the young women's sports programs equal to young men's. Constantly. They're never going to get it accomplished. The NCAA basketball, the men's are always more popular than the women's. And they're not going to change a cotton-picking thing. The WNBA, which is half probably lesbians, is nothing but a constant advertisement of trying to get people interested in a sick project. They're always trying to make us equal. We're not equal. Women can do things that men cannot do, and that's the greatest thing, and that's to create life. Men have been competing about that ever since. Okay, but as far as youth, we're exalting the young in their strength. Sports program, professional athletes. You get kids come out of high school, 18, 19, 20, millionaires. And they're talking to these kids like they're experts. They don't know squat about life. Some of these guys are getting paid, like in professional baseball, some of these high athletes are getting paid about $10,000 every time they go up to bat. Strike out. What? Where in the world can a black man join a sport and get paid millions of dollars for failing? Let them gripe about that for a while. But exalting youth strength, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 10. This is a constant problem in America. And it's a problem in churches. When the youth are exalted in leadership positions, you have zeal without knowledge. And it gives the young people a false sense of importance. Titus 2, verse 1, has the aged men first, the aged women second, and the young people are to look up to the aged. Proverbs 20, verse 29, the glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is a gray head. Why? Because you got wisdom there. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 16. It says, then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Now that's obvious in football. Who gets bigger salaries, the quarterback or the big lineman? I mean, the big lineman can take that quarterback and squish him like anything, but he's getting bigger salaries. Takes more brains to get all those plays memorized. The big lineman just say, hey, ugh, go hit that guy. When I say this, you go hit him. When I say that, you go hit him. Just hit him hard, okay? Hit him hard. You know, that's basically what's going on. Wisdom's better than strength. And then it says, nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of the wise man are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. The exaltation of young men's strength. Basically what the military is made up of right now today, it's loaded with brain dead young men. They don't think. They take an oath to uphold and support the Constitution of the United States, and then they defy that oath by putting on a blue beret. They don't think about it. United Nations has no right on our land. We're paying, this country's paying half, over half, of the bills for the United Nations, and over half of the things that are voted are against the United States. Against Israel. How can a man uphold his oath of office, the Constitution, but yet put on a blue beret or a blue helmet? Can't do it. They're not thinking. There's a homeschooled kid a few years ago in early 1990s named Michael New that refused to put on a blue beret. And they gave him a dishonorable discharge, and he's been fighting that thing. He lives in Utah now, I think his family does, and their county has adopted an ordinance that is forbidden for the United Nations to come in their county. Our county needs to adopt that. But the military is loaded with zeal without knowledge. They take the strength of young men and mold that kid and mold him for fighting, but they take his mind away from him. And I understand you got to get the soldiers in a one thinking pattern. I understand that. Has to develop in it or make a good soldier. But that's why they have the young men. If they get some 40-year-olds in there, too many questions to be asked. Commanding officer asks you, is that a lawful order? Just shut up and do what I tell you. Is that a lawful order? You won't get anything done if you got a brain to start thinking about stuff. Why? They're exalting the strength of young people. Now, young men have tremendous pressure placed on them. And we other folks need to understand these things. They have tremendous pressure put on them. Not just plain old peer pressure. You look at the age 13 to 25 or 13 to 30, around in that age, young men, you're going to find probably the smallest group in that group of them who are concerned with the things of God. Why? Because they constantly hammer these young men that if you carry a Bible, you're a sissy. Let me tell you something. You're a sissy if you don't carry a Bible. You know, I've seen some of these big, tough, burly guys look at me and they think, man, you're just a little wimp. And I see you carry the Bible, pal. You're so big and tough. Let's see you look at a crowd and say, no, I'm not going to drink. Let's see you. It takes a live man to walk against the crowd. Dead fish float downstream. But the peer pressure they put on young men is probably greater than anywhere. Why? Because of their potential. Their potential to do something for God, and they're also their potential to do something for Satan. Satan puts an unbelievable amount of pressure on young men because if he can destroy them as a young man, he can destroy a whole entire life. And he can destroy not only his life, but he can destroy the lives of people that he can help along the way. Now, you got to understand that a young man has a great challenge in life. As a young man, getting to be 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 at that age, he's developing his own independence. And you want him to be a man and be self-reliant. But yet he's trying to spread his wings, but yet if he's under the head household of his parents, he's still got to keep them wings kind of clipped. You see, but the thing is they're developing their independence to be a leader in a home, to be a new home and establish a new family. And they got to be a man about things. And so it's a tough thing to try to weigh in that thing. So it's a tough situation for him. Tremendous peer pressure, tremendous pressure from Satan, tremendous pressure from their manhood. It's the age that most trouble occurs in. It's the greatest age of the population in the jails, 13 to 30. I should even take it up to 40, you know, even up in that age, make me feel younger. It's the highest population in jail, and it is the highest cost for auto insurance. Why? Well, it's obvious why. They're trying to prove their manhood by pushing down the gas pedal. See, now here's the three main sins that young men have to deal with. Number one is pride. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Sir pride. They'll fight at a drop of a hat. You look at them the wrong way, they'll fight you over it. Romans 12, verse 3. A young man sees any fight and he wants to fight every fight. When you get old, you get tired of all the fights, and so you start picking and choose your battles. Young man sees that as compromise. The older generation realizes it's just being smart. You can't fight every battle. And there's some battles aren't worth to be fought. Sometimes you need to give in to win the battle. It's like the bulldog and skunk. You know, they're going to have a fight, and the bulldog said, I know I can whoop the skunk, but it's not worth the stink. And that's how the thing goes. But Romans 12, verse 3, it says, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. When you get thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to think, you ought to analyze what the Bible says. In Isaiah 40 verse 17 or 15, where it says, all the nations are but as a drop in the bucket. So get you a 5-gallon bucket, take one drop of water and drop it in the bucket. And then tell yourself, that drop is all the nations of the earth right now. Now in that drop, how many people are on planet Earth right now? 5 to 6 billion? Okay, if you can divide that drop into 5 to 6 billion parts, that's you. Compared to God. Do you realize that 99.9% of the world will not even realize that you or I ever existed? We get caught up with ourselves a lot of times, and that's just because we're caught up with ourselves. The thing about peer pressure is what the kids, a lot of times they are susceptible to peer pressure because they are so worried about what other people think about them. Why do you have to worry about that? They're worried about the same thing. They're worried what other people think of them. Well, if everybody's worried what other people think of them, then who cares what you think of them? It doesn't matter. There's no logic to it, but pride. The young man tries to prove his manhood and toughness. And I'm glad he's trying to prove his manhood and toughness. I don't want him to look for his feminine side. Thank God for a young fellow that's trying to prove his manhood and toughness. I don't want some little wimp, some sissy. Oh, I'm trying to find my feminine side. Who cares about that? So what happens when a young man tries to prove his manhood and toughness? It creates a bully mentality. An animal mentality. It creates a pecking order like chickens. I've watched my stupid chickens. One thing I like to do is kind of relax. I like to sit in a chicken, my little chicken thing. And I sit there and I like to watch them stupid birds. And when I see one picking on another one, I take a stick and whap it on the head, you know. But this stupid bird never figures it out. Trying to get the thing to repent for picking on another one. Stupid bird, don't repent. Never apologize. Never gets right. A hard hearts. You know, a stinking rooster, you know, I'll kick the thing. Even clip his spurs, you know, trying to get his attention. But that's the way kids are. Some of the meanest people in the world are young kids picking on kids in school. What is it? It's a pecking order. Is what it is. It's the survival of the fittest. They said it came from a monkey, so now they're going to act like it. What is this manhood trying to show his manhood? It breeds a conformity to the bully. Whoever's the biggest guy, everybody's got to conform to the bully. Romans 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world. Now who decides the toughness? The manhood. It's the gang. That's why they have initiations in gangs. Initiations in gangs, you know, if you're going to do this and this and this, that proves your toughness. It don't prove anything, just proves you're stupid. Who decides on the rules of acceptance? Again, it's the gang. We had a young girl that was in a gang in Chicago when we were working with the Chicago teenagers. And during the afternoon, they'd have like a meal for the young ladies or for some of the guys that wanted to hang around for the whole day. And this girl was so dedicated to her gang. In her gang, it was forbidden to eat pork. That was her gang thing. And when they'd have pizza, you know, pizza in a box or something, she would demand to see the box and what the ingredients are. So in that gang, the toughness was not eating pork. I don't know if it was a Seventh-day Adventist gang or what it was. I don't know what it was. But you'll see these young men getting these cars, and they're getting these low riders, you know, and that car's going, you ever see them things up and down, up and down, up and down? And he's sitting there. You know, it takes a lot of exercise to push a button. And then he's going to show his real toughness. He squeals the tires. Man, I'm cool, man. You know, these muscles right here, you have to exercise a lot to push on that gas pedal. That is really tough. You got to exercise at the gym quite a bit in order to get that muscle very strong so you could push on that gas pedal. Now them guys, they get their motorcycles out there, man. They go like, you know, this muscle, you know. That one you got to work on in order to get that motorcycle to show how tough you are. They think that's tough. Pushing on a gas pedal. Trying to show their manhood. Racing a car. Got the music blaring. They're walking like chickens. Can you imagine a guy walking up to you and saying, I'm tough, man. Looks like you're a chicken to me. That's what you look like to me. That's the way you walk. That's the way you act. They think I'm a sissy because I got to have a Bible in order to cope with life. They can't cope with it. They got to take dope. They can't deal with their problems. They got to get drunk because they're trying to drown their sorrows. Why don't you give it up and see what kind of a man you are and stand against the world system? I see if you want to find some real manhood, you find some. I tell you, one thing that's a blessing about this church is we got some men in this church. We got some men that look like soldiers and act like soldiers. I mean, you go to the average church and stand outside the church and look at it, it looks like the men come out of the beauty parlor. They got their sweet little necklaces and all their earrings, you know, and all this stuff. Look like they've been fishing and lost a tackle box, half of them. And look so sweet and prissy. The reason why they're that way is because the women are telling them what to do in the church. Ain't a man. They can't deal with their problems, so they got to get drunk. Try to drown their sorrows. Well, let's see them stand up for Jesus Christ for a change. Amen. Now, a young man's trying to prove his manhood. A lot of times they think they're going to prove their manhood by living a wicked life. Romans chapter 16, verse 19. It says, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, in your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning the evil. You don't need to study sin and be wise about sin. You ought never be embarrassed about your innocence. Amen. Never be embarrassed about your innocence. Well, you don't know what it's like to get drunk? Amen. No? You mean you've never taken dope? I took an aspirin about 20 years ago. You know, I can remember in grade school or in junior high, kids would tease me and they'd say, how many times you come to town this summer? And I said, I don't think I came to town this summer. We always went to Hebron anyway. And then they asked me, do you know where the Palo is? And I said, what's the Palo? They thought that was funny. And I said, what is it? And they said, it's a movie theater. I said, oh, where is it? Well, it's right over here. It's that building right over there. It's no longer, it's a workshop now, or some machine shop. And they thought that was the funniest thing. I didn't care what they thought. I mean, you ought to be glad if your children are naive about things. Don't ever be ashamed about your innocence. In Rensselaer High School, they just had some hypnotist for, an activity, a school session. I forget what they called them things. And I think it was this one or another activity, and they asked the kids, how many of you have never tried smoking, drinking, or dope? Of about, I don't know, how many is in Rensselaer High School? Probably 500, maybe. I think there were five hands. Annie, is that how many there were? Four or five hands? Four or five hands. I think within 24 hours, one of the four or five hands tried smoking just because everybody else did it. Never be ashamed of your innocence. I mean, never. They let them make fun of you. Let them laugh about it. Let them have a good time. I'd turn around and say, you mean tell me you wasted your money on booze? You wasted all that? Never be ashamed of your innocence. A young man, in order to humble himself, he needs to realize his lack of experience and humbly listen to the wise. The second sin that is common amongst young men is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and that's self-centeredness. You hear some of these professional athletes, and they brag about themselves, always talking about themselves. I did this, I did that, I did this. Like a little two-year-old said, watch me jump here, watch me, watch me. Self-centeredness. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times should come for men shall be lovers of them own selves. Ladies can attest to that fact. Lovers of them own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parent, unthankful, unholy, so forth down the line. Self-centered, me first, you next. They lack consideration for others. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Romans 12, verse 10. It's part of that independent spirit, but yet it says, Romans 12, 10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. To me, it's a real blessing to watch a young man, upper teenage years, where they are willing to humble themselves and goof off with the young kids. See, that's the one big hang-up about what's called age segregation education, is that the kid is not well-rounded. The child loses his well-roundedness where all he can deal with is peers. They should be able to talk intelligently with an older person. They should be able to humble themselves and goof off with the young kids. And not kick away, you know, the young kids because, well, I'm too big for them, man. So that's the problem with that. And that's the blessing of homeschooling. Is a child runs all ages, obviously, unless you only have one child at home. That's a problem. But that's why you got church. Get around all ages. But a young man is self-centered often. No consideration of others. No concern for the helpless. No appreciation for the ones who have helped them in the past. They're just thinking about themselves. They often have no care for anyone unless they can get something out of them. And a lot of young ladies don't, you know, realize this when they get married. You see, the problem with the city dwellers, you know, in the Bible versus country folk, is in a country, the young man can get out and do some work. But when they're stuck in a house, what's the young man going to do? He goes out and plays. What's the young ladies do? Well, they keep house. See, they can keep house in a country, they can keep house in a city. So the young ladies know how to work, but the young men's all they know how to do is play. And that's why the women are taking over some of the men's jobs today. They know how to work. Young men are self-centered. They tend to be towards themselves. Think about themselves. Trying to build their own manhood, their own ego. Lovers of their own selves. And that's one of the reasons why divorce is so high, is because they're thinking about themselves. No concern about their wife. No concern about the vows that they gave to protect and honor and cherish None whatsoever. Self-centeredness. The third sin is pleasure-oriented. Look, if you would, in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Now, in any society, you always have wicked men. Generally speaking, any society has wicked men. But when you have a society where you got wicked women, you have a wicked society. And you're seeing a society in America where the young girls are cussing nowadays so wicked that it'd make a sailor blush. And you're dealing with wicked people. And when young women, when young ladies get ruthless, they get ruthless. The hardest person on a woman on a job is a woman boss. Fighting and arguing everything. But this idea of pleasure-oriented, young men, pleasure-oriented, 1 Peter chapter 4 says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles." Now here's the will of the Gentiles. "When we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries." That goes on in every state campus and college in America. That's what they promote. I don't care if you call it a conservative school or a liberal. Every state campus and most of the Christian colleges that right there goes on. And it says, "Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Why? Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead?" A young man thinks, "Well, I got all my life to, you know, settle down, straighten up." He may not. A young woman down in Remington area, 20 years old, dead, drunk. She never thought that was going to happen. That age is an age where the biggest killer of that age right now is booze. It's the number one killer of that age. The number two is suicide. Pleasure-oriented. They're seekers of pleasures more than seekers of God. 2 Timothy 3, they're having fun, as they say. And I'm not saying they're not having fun. They're laughing, enjoying themselves. Sin has pleasure for a season, Hebrews 11:26. But it also has strings attached with that pleasure that's going to bind them and going to enslave them. And they can't get away from it. If you remove the mortality rate amongst the infants and the elderly, more die in this age of young men because of drunkenness and suicide than any age. Now, if they want to be a real man, look, if you would, in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I tell you, it's a blessing to see the young men we have here. That's a blessing. And I do everything I can to encourage young men that the Christian life is not meant for sissies. And the Christian life is meant for a man to live it. Why? Because our Savior's a man. 1 Timothy 2 verse 5 says there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And that man stood at Calvary, beaten up, mock trial, everything involved, and Pilate stood at him in front of the masses of people, and he said, "Behold, the man." Yes, he was God, but he was a man. He was a man's man. And it takes a man to stand up against the world system like the Lord Jesus Christ did. And it takes a man to stand up and be a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ and to do right as the Lord wants us to do right. It takes a man to do that. It takes a mouse to go along with the crowd. It takes a wimp and somebody who's dead to float downstream with the world system. And we had some men that helped found this country who stood up against the system. And we had some Bible-believing preachers that helped found this country and stood up against the society as far as the public policy that was going. Oh, it's okay to drink, they say. Well, we're going to stand against it. And we're going to fight these things as far as the law allows us. We're going to use every remedy we can as far as the law allows us to stand against the wickedness that's going on in this country. You say, well, it's not as fun. Well, it depends how you look at it. Different sort of pleasure. We Christians have fun. We just remember it. See, and we're focused on Jesus Christ where it should be. Because we know that in the end, we're going to stand before God someday and give an account of everything we do. And I dare say any of us older folks, there's got some things in our past that we sure don't want to see on that movie screen. But thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ, which clears all sin. These are the things that young men go through: pride, self-centeredness, and pleasure-oriented. And when they stand up against that, it's a great joy to be around young men who are faithful to God. And God can use them in a tremendous way. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd encourage folks, to encourage young people to stand true to God. And Lord, it's a blessing to have the aged men and the aged women who are sound in faith, who help encourage the young folks. Young folks, to stay true to thee. And Lord, I pray you'd encourage the young men here to realize the adventure of the Christian life and to do a work for God. And Lord, if you call some of these young men to preach the gospel for Christ, I pray that you would give them a burning desire to preach the gospel as you have given me. And Lord, I do pray that you'd help the young ladies to be faithful and true to thee, and that you would guide them to be true to thee. With heads bowed and eyes are closed, the altar's open. If you're not saved and don't know for sure you're going to heaven, that's obviously one thing we want to get across, that you can know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die. But if you're young, do you consider God's will for your life? Do you consider doing what God wants you to do? Now's the time. Bear the yoke in your youth. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, Solomon advised. If you feel the Lord may be calling you to a ministry, to a full-time work, to some preaching the gospel, doing something, there's nothing better than being in the center of God's will. It's an adventure all the way. The instruments play, the altar's open if you need it. The young folks here have a great privilege where you have many older folks who have been faithful for years. Respect them. Honor them. Seek their advice. They'll tell you that they don't want you to have to learn the same mistakes that we learned from. Trying to help you out. We want the best for you. If you need the altar, it's open for you. The older generation, we need to pray for this young generation. They have pressures put on them like we never faced. And every year gets worse. Teach the boys to be boys and masculine. Teach the girls to be ladies and feminine. Lord Jesus, I do pray that you'd put your hand on some young men here. I pray that you'd give them a desire to preach. Not that they have to pastor, but to preach. And Lord, we have some older men here, good preachers. Lord, I pray that you'd just help us to be faithful to thee. Help the older generation to be concerned and pray for and love the younger generation. I pray that younger generation would respect and honor and ask the older generation for advice. And we'd have a sweet harmony and fellowship. Thank you for your word. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be faithful to thee. In Jesus' name, amen.